and thank you so much for joining us right here today on another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, right here on Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And we love to bring you this show. You know, Dr. Zamperone and I do many radio shows, including The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We also have a show called Natural Alternatives and another one called Herbally Yours and another one called Natural House Call. So we have a wide realm of shows, and we love bringing them to you. And one of the great things about The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z is the fact that you can listen in any time, day or night, on Progressive Radio Network's 24-hour archive. So if you find there's a show you like and you'd like to download it, you're welcome to. They do not block downloading, which I think is fabulous. It allows you to hear the show anytime on your iPod. Of course, you can share that with friends as well. So we're very happy that you're on board with us, and we love to hear from you. So get in touch by visiting naturalnurse.com. We take your comments on the blog there, or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. And today we are very happy to introduce our guest, and that is Tracy Yablon Brenner. It's a long name, Tracy. Tracy is a registered dietitian nutritionist, board certified holistic health counselor, and she has authored two comprehensive and practical guides for family nutrition, including Great Expectations, Best Food for Your Baby and Toddler, and Simple Food for Busy Families. She is also a radio host, and she's co-host on the Family Food Experts Talk Show, and also on iHeart Talk Radio, coming up shortly. And she launched Cook Once, Eat Twice. Oh, that's a good idea. Ebook for to easily help families get a nourishing meal when you don't have a lot of time, which is certainly the case for so many people today. And she has a wonderful website called realfoodmoms.com, realfoodmoms.com. Thank you so much for joining us today, Tracy.
Thank you so much for having me, Ellen.
Now, tell me the correct pronunciation of that hyphen last name of yours.
Yablon Brenner.
Okay. And I'm just a little wondering what your children's names are.
They're just Brenner.
Oh, okay.
Made it easy for them.
Yes.
And I have Emily, and I just let her have the Y, not the double E, like I spell my name. So.
Right. Yours is Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-E. That's right. We'll tell people in case, of course, they want to find you and your beautifully appointed books. Now, let's go back in time, because what made you gravitate towards natural foods?
Well, I just naturally gravitated towards them, and I loved cooking. I initially went to culinary school after high school, and I did that, went on for my bachelor's in hotel restaurant management. Unfortunately, I grew up with two sick parents. My mom had Hodgkin's disease from the time I was like 6 or 7, and my dad had his first heart attack at 48. And when I graduated from college, I was working in corporate catering, and I just felt like I was missing something, that there had to be a correlation between your health and what you eat.
Although the medical science at the time actually denied that.
They
used to come out and say that what you eat does not have to do with your health. I mean, I fought many a doc over that for many years.
Yes. My mom, I don't really remember her. I mean, she was always on a diet for some reason. She wasn't heavy, but she thought she was. So she ate fairly healthy till she got older. So, like, her late 40s, she wasn't eating as healthy. And my dad, I do remember at times, and actually as the years went on, he went out to Wisconsin for his third bypass surgery, actually, because his second surgery should not have been done at the time. And the doctor out in Wisconsin was the one who was telling him, eat nuts, and, you know, start taking omega-3s.
Boy,
so
lucky for him.
That was probably, I don't know, 17, 18 years ago.
Why did he wind up going to Wisconsin?
The local doctors, it was his third bypass, so I guess at the time there were not many doctors who were willing to do a third bypass, and he was probably 57, 58 at the time.
And fairly young.
Yes, but high risk.
Yeah.
And his doctor recommended the surgeon out in Wisconsin, and he unfortunately was out there for a month. He had some complications, but they did an amazing job, and he didn't have to have another surgery after that.
So and you saw all these things happening.
Yes, I saw all these things happening, and at that point, I was actually a registered dietitian, and I was
thrilled.
Well,
we're going to go back into that, because that is an amazing degree. You know,
yes.
I do a lot of career counseling on people who would like to get into natural medicine and being using nutrition as their livelihood in terms of helping people understand nutrition. And the best degree to have is an RD, although many people complain that going through the many years of training that requires is not focused on holistic understanding.
Right. Actually, that was the case for me when I went for my RD. I wish I had more holistic training. There are more schools today that offer that. But I went, I guess, 18 years ago. I'm aging myself here.
Oh, no, you're not. You've been doing this a real long time, and that's okay.
Okay. That's great. You were ahead of yourself.
So the thing is, you did get the RD. Now, what
I did get my
RD
when I was going when I was going back
degree.
To go back to school. I was debating, should I go for my master's? Should I go for my RD? And a friend of mine said to me, who is an RD, you really need your RD. She said, you can go on for your master's afterwards, but or at the same time, but you really should get that credential. So
that
I went back to school.
Advice, the best advice, because
it was.
The people I know now are spending a lot of time and money to get something called like a health coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while that's nice, it really doesn't give you a license to practice, and an RD is the best degree. Now, I'm an RN, and I can do nutrition to an extent, depending on the state and what
right.
they call the Scope of Practice Act, and that varies state to state. And I have always done nutritional counseling under my nursing license, but it's really not as clear as it is with an RD in terms of scope of practice.
Right. No, that's true. So I was really happy that I went back and got my RD. I had a lot of the cooking classes because I went to culinary school. I did have to take a few when I went back to school, but I had to take all those sciences, which I couldn't probably have taken them right after high school, but I did all that organic chem and biochemistry, and then that year internship, which I did at New York Hospital, which is now New York Presbyterian.
Okay.
And I did go back like 8 years ago and get my certified holistic health coach.
See, that's perfect.
Yeah.
For you, that's perfect because you already have your license. Exactly.
Right. Yes, New Jersey doesn't have licensure at the moment, so it's really my RD. New York does have licensure. But, yes, I'm happy to have both. And IIN, Institute for Integrative Nutrition, had some amazing guest speakers, and I was really thrilled to be able to see and hear some of those speakers. And
right.
Get that.
Yes, it's a very good introduction. I don't feel they go deeply enough into things like biochemistry because I teach botanical pharmacology and nutrient depletion at the college level, and that's where you really learn what each food and individual nutrients within the food do metabolically in terms of mechanism of action. And I think that's important. Like, you learn more of that under your RD auspices than from
definitely.
The health coach auspices.
Oh, yeah. No, the health coach, it was more for me a conjunction of what I had learned already. I agree. You don't get those that science, which I feel is extremely important.
The other thing, though, that perhaps you did get there is how to market this knowledge, because you do a beautiful job of that. And that's very important, too, in terms of writing books, which you've done, be a mom. This is a big job. And even I love your logo for Real Food Moms, the way it incorporates some really great vegetables like asparagus into the logo itself. Like, that is really powerful marketing and great, because it makes this concept accessible to mainstream people who maybe aren't, you know, the real vegans of the world. You know, they're just learning about this now.
Yes, and that's really my approach. That's a big part of my market, to help people who are mainstream, who have been eating that sad standard American diet and want to make changes but don't really know how. And a lot of people get very nervous, you know, when their kids are like, oh, I don't want healthy food. So it's really important.
I would just not tell them. You know, you just give it to them and it's food, right?
Right. No, I know. I agree. Actually, my kids are pretty good eaters. But sometimes when I cook, I don't tell them what's in there, because if I do, just hearing, like, there's a portobello mushroom in there, they'll, like, give me eyes. But if they taste it and then I tell them, they'll look at me and like, okay. You know, it was really good. I didn't know it was in there. And then they're okay, you know, they're okay with it.
Exactly.
So you're right.
And sometimes to tell you the truth, my children, who are now 38 and 36, I can't believe it. My son came home for his 20th year high school reunion a couple weeks ago. I told him,
oh, wow.
How dare you? So they were raised 100% organic. In fact, when I raised them, I had my own farm and raised all my own food.
Oh, but fabulous.
I wasn't as open-minded, perhaps, as I find some of my clients who come in today and they have children. You know what? I really didn't feel like what they got fed was their choice. I really didn't. And, you know, I was strict about that. This is what we have to eat. Other than that, starve. I mean, I really didn't go overboard in terms of, you know, their wants. And they wound up eating vegetables first before they got their organic macaroni and cheese. You know, it was like a bribe.
Right.
And it was like, basically, here I am. This is a dictatorship. It is a benevolent dictatorship. And another rule that I instituted when they did get older and went to parties and things like that was they were allowed to eat anything they wanted outside of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt that they were going to anyway.
Right.
So why have a rule that you can't enforce? Because then the children are eating, let's say, like you said, SAD food, standard American diet, toxic food, but also lying to their parents about it. And the chemicals released due to the emotional stress of lying is probably worse than the occasional junk food. So that's just how I dealt with it. Parents have to make up their mind all the time. But when parents come in and say, oh, no, they won't eat vegetables, I don't buy that.
I agree. I mean, I have a lot of kids who actually ask to come and have dinner at my house and who have dinner at my house, and I have lots of vegetables on the table, and oftentimes there are new vegetables to them, but they'll try them, and usually they'll like them. And my kids, you know, they always eat their vegetables. And actually the other night my daughter was kind of tired at dinner, and she really ate just basically some cauliflower. She wasn't so hungry. She ate all her cauliflower with turmeric, which is, as you know, very anti-inflammatory, and she's a soccer player, so it was really good for her. But that's what she ate. She had other things on her plate, and she chose the cauliflower.
But that was your child.
That was my child. Yeah.
Right. So you see, you brainwash them into it like this is food. It's not so much just, okay, well, you can just eat something that Barney the Purple Dinosaur says is good. You know, you do need to, I think parents do need to lay down some rules.
No, I agree. And I'm not a short order cook. I never was. What I make is what they eat, or they go find something else. And everything in my house also is organic, non-GMO, and healthy. But typically they eat what I put on the table. And I have an older daughter who's a freshman in college, and she often comments on my posts, "Oh, I miss your food, Mom." And when a few years ago, when she was more of a rebellious teenager, she would call me the nutrition freak, because all her friends would eat whatever they wanted, and at home, you know, we ate whole, real foods. And now she's like, "Oh, I miss your food. Can you send me some food? I can't wait to come home and have your cooking." And she's already asking for certain things, kale salad and wild rice and cranberry dish.
Yes, and you see that. Now, I'll tell you a college story, too, because, of course, this is a show about family cooking, so it's great if we share with our listeners some of the things we've come across trying to raise children like that in this day and age, with there's so much junk food around. I had a similar story when my son did leave for college. He, like you said, rebelled, and he said, "Great, I'm going to eat junk food every single day." And he did for his first semester. And when he came home, he asked, you know, it was holiday time for a holiday present. And in my house, we celebrated both Hanukkah and Christmas, you know, so we just called it a holiday present. And he actually asked for a steamer to take back with him to college.
Oh, wow.
Because he said there was really no way to just get plain vegetables. Like, you could get vegetables, but they were all full of chemical sauces and, you know, who knows what, and overcooked. And that was what he asked. And then he asked me for a second year. He said, "I really have to live." Of course, this was good for him to use. He said, "I really have to live in my own apartment. I can't leave in the dorm because I need to be more in control of my food intake."
That's so funny. My daughter said the same thing. I just
visited her
this past
weekend.
Oh,
that's a good line. That's a good line for them, right?
She's gluten-free also, and her school has gluten-free options and pretty good selection, and they're very into eating locally and buying local from local farms. But she's particular with what she likes, and that's like her biggest thing. She wants to live in her own apartment so she can make her own meals.
Right. That's how my son got his own apartment. And we did find a roommate, so it was cost effective. In the end,
right,
it really did not cost more than the dorm, and he really did. One thing that happened is, do you know when especially growing boys get white lines under their nails? I'm sure you've seen that.
Yeah.
And that really can relate to mineral deficiencies.
Yeah.
And you know what? He got that. And
oh, wow.
It's kind of almost a good thing, because he had never had it before, although many of his friends growing up had had it. But after 6 months on junk food, his first semester in college, that was there. And he was amazed. That was one of the big things that made him want to go, you know what, I have been eating really good all these years. It's really not so much fun to have pizza every day.
Right. Yeah, they realize how lucky they really are that they were eating nourishing whole foods.
So now, were you eating that way before you had your children? So you had, like, really healthy pregnancies as well?
You know, I ate fairly healthy. Not as healthy as I do today. You know, I'm gluten-free now and, for the most part, dairy-free. I ate a lot of vegetables. I had a lot of morning sickness when I was pregnant, so that I didn't eat as well as I probably should have, and I craved meat at the time, and before that I had been a vegetarian at one point. So,
well, as a nutritionist, I'm interested in pursuing that topic a little bit further. What are your feelings about that now, like anything from overeating meat to a strict vegan diet? What are your feelings about those two ends of the spectrum?
Well, I feel that if you're going to eat meat, it should really be organic, free-range, grass-fed, and more as a condiment than the whole meal. And you can do it in moderation. And I have many clients who say, "Oh, well, it's, you know, more expensive to buy organic." Well, yes, but it's your health, too, and you're going to see it in spades later, and you don't need to buy a lot of it. We tend to overeat when we eat meat. So, my kids actually are not big meat eaters, but when they do ask for it, we have, you know, grass-fed, organic meat. And same with chicken. I think It's really important to know the difference, and I don't think a lot of people really understand the difference between factory farmed meat and poultry compared to organic, free range, grass fed meat and poultry. And there's a difference even in the organic venue of meat and poultry.
Well, you're right, because one thing that commercial meat often does, which is very tricky, I mean, some of the real commercial brands, they'll say natural on the label.
Yeah.
And that means what? Nothing. It just means it's a chicken. It could be raised with the most toxic chemicals in the world.
Right.
Because there's no regulation on the term natural. So you're right,
right.
There's a big difference.
Like the Cornucopia Group. They have a whole section on eggs, and they rate the eggs and the quality of eggs. And, you know, there's a big difference even in the organic industry between the quality of the eggs. And you can taste it. I often have clients tell me, oh, wow, I could really taste the difference between that organic grass-fed, you know, pasture-raised egg than the regular egg I buy, you know, at the grocery store.
That is so true. Oh,
yeah,
my God. That is,
same with meat.
Great.
I mean, it's amazing how people, when they do buy the grass-fed organic meat, they're like, tastes like the meat like I grew up with. And there's a huge difference, and there's a huge difference in the energy of how your body reacts to it. And, you know, factory-farmed meat, unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of high energy that goes into when that meat is being slaughtered, and that goes into your body.
That's all true. And you know what? We do have to take just a one-minute break right here on Progressive Radio Network. Tracy, thank you for all that great information. We will be coming back to continue our discussion and to talk about some of these beautiful books that you have available that makes it really easier for people to offer real food to their family. And meanwhile, you can look at Tracy's website, where there's tons of information at Real Food Moms. We'll be right back here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the folklore, history, chemistry, and medicinal applications of the common kitchen herb, thyme.
The common culinary spice known botanically as Thymus vulgaris is only one member of a large genera which includes over 400 species and even more varieties. The Thymus genera is originally native to the Mediterranean region and is a perennial plant which grows wild in usually dry, sandy soil, green heaths, and grasslands. Thyme is a prolific, fragrant, creeping ground cover and often displays an attractive spray of flowering branchlets spanning the spectrum from white to violet.
There is considerable debate amongst historians as to the origin of the name thyme. Some believe it to be from the Greek thymen, meaning to fumigate or to burn a sacrifice, because it was used as a sweet-smelling incense and also to keep pests and venomous creatures away from the Greek home. Others believe it came from the Greek thumos, meaning courage or energy, perhaps because it has a reputation of being used by Greek warriors for courage and was bathed in and used as a beverage for invigoration. The Egyptians used an herb called thyme, which we believe is Thymus vulgaris, to mummify their dead. The principal chemical constituents of thyme are the volatile oils consisting of phenol, thymol, and carvacrol. A 1977 article in the scientific journal Chemical Abstracts revealed that thymol's antimicrobial activity is 18 times more powerful than phenol. Phenol is a major antiseptic used in commercial germicidal cleaners like Lysol. Thymol is one of the most potent antimicrobial substances known and far surpasses even the strongest antibiotics. It has been illustrated in the Journal of Chemistry and in the Merck Index of Drugs and Chemicals to destroy parasites, worms, fungi, bacteria, mosquito larvae, and many viruses.
The pharmaceutical and cosmetic industry is privy to the important medicinal effects of oil of Thymus vulgaris. It is ubiquitously found in gargles, cough drops, vapor rubs, and many mouthwashes. Oil little of thyme is to be used, albeit very sparingly because of its potency, as a gargle or mouthwash for sore throats and inflamed gums. Because the volatile oil is expelled via the lungs and kidneys, naturopathic physicians use it for upper respiratory infections and urinary tract infections. If you're in the midst of a cold and are lying in bed with too much thyme on your hands, try making a thyme tea made with just a few teaspoons of thyme to a cup of boiling water. It's an excellent diaphoretic because it causes the body to perspire profusely. Thyme also possesses an excellent carminative and antispasmodic effect, helping in poor digestion, flatulence, and intestinal gripe.
So, listeners, if you're feeling ill, thyme heals all wounds. Remember to reach for that thyme in a bottle the next time you open up the natural medicine chest.
Welcome back once again to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Oh, hopefully you are feeling well. We love to bring you this show right here on Progressive Radio Network, and we have all kinds of other events scheduled for you, including many radio shows, also on-ground meetings, where we take you out in the woods to gather edible and medicinal wild plants and make them into food and medicine. And we talk about that in our book, The Natural Medicine Chest. And we have a plethora of recipes that include all organic food, like we're talking about with our guest today, Tracy Yablon-Brenner, who's the author of several books that we're going to be talking about shortly. And our book is called Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide by yours truly, Ellen Kamai, and of course, our co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone. And this book is actually used by consumers and physicians alike because it is evidence-based in terms of what you can consume that brings down inflammation in your body. And as I'm sure you know, inflammation is linked to every disease process. So thank you so much for being with us and talking about real food moms with our guest, Tracy, and she is a registered dietitian, nutritionist, board-certified holistic health counselor, and the author of several books, as well as a radio host. Thank you so much for joining us, Tracy.
Thanks so much for having me, Ellen.
Tell us about your radio shows, because, of course, we're real into radio shows here.
Well, it's called The Family Food Experts, and it's actually a group of registered dietitians who each week take turns co-hosting the radio show with our host, Ellen Briggs, who is the founder of Kid Critics and Family Food Experts Talk Radio. And as a group of registered dietitians, we're the third-party endorsement for a lot of different brand products. And like you said, other registered dietitians also look to us as experts because we're out at different trade shows and really looking at different new food products out there, seeing if they're high quality or not, if there's something that we will sponsor on our radio show. And other mommy bloggers look at us also as the food and nutrition experts because we are registered dietitian nutritionists.
That's great, and you're giving out so much good information.
Yes.
Now, what do you mean by natural nutritionist versus a non-natural nutritionist? You would think all nutrition has to do with natural.
Yes. Well, there's different degrees, and if you're a dietitian working in a clinical setting, you are not going to be talking about eating real food and how that affects your body and the difference between organic and locally grown food. So I really talk about those topics when I counsel clients. I think it's really important to get back to basics and garden and really know where your food is coming from.
And sure is. Now, how would somebody find you? What do you think the best way? Is it at your website, realfoodmoms.com?
Yes, my website's realfoodmoms.com, and you can also find me at familyfoodexperts.com, where I co-host the talk radio show Family Food Experts on Thursdays, 1 p.m., W4WN.com, and I am the third Thursday of the month is my turn to co-host.
Well, let's talk about types of foods, because your books really go into that. And your books are beautiful. I love the cover, Best Food for Your Baby and Toddler, and Simple Food for Busy Families. Simple is a good term. For most people now, they're very overstressed. And that's one thing that I hear feedback all the time from my patients, because I really do eat healthy basically every day. And the only way I find that I can do that, especially with my lifestyle where I travel a lot, is to take my food with me.
Yes, I was just away over the weekend, and I did take some food with me because it's difficult to eat as healthy as I do, especially during the traveling period. So I brought salad with me and nuts and seeds and canned wild salmon. So it's really important to have high-quality foods, and traveling makes it a little challenging.
It does. But how about on an everyday basis? I know in your book you talk about meal planners and a stocked pantry.
Yes. I think it's very important to have a stocked pantry. When your pantry is stocked properly, you can easily throw something together. And people get, you know, very frightened by cooking, and it's not rocket science. It's so easy. And when your pantry is stocked with the correct ingredients, you know, some extra virgin olive oil, tomatoes, beans, nuts, seeds, it's really easy to throw something together. Quinoa, wild rice.
Well, let's go into some of those things. What, you know, not everybody, these are not common names for everyone. They are to you and I. But not everybody has quinoa in their pantry. Let's talk about that as something that people could have in their home.
That is true. Quinoa is actually a seed, but it's known as a grain today. And it's the only grain that is a complete protein. So it's great for vegetarians. It takes the flavor on of whatever you prepare it with. So you can have it for breakfast as a hot cereal with some almond milk or coconut milk and nuts and berries or apples and cinnamon. Or you can have it as a chili. And I like to make a big batch of quinoa, cook once, eat twice, and leave some to maybe just put in a salad, plain, and it'll take the flavor on of the dressing you add to it. And then I might put some in a soup or make a chili out of it. And it's delicious. It's very similar, I think, in texture to like couscous or rice. So that's a great pantry staple.
Well, a lot of people think it's the same as couscous. But what is couscous, actually? I like it, but it is pasta. It's just little teeny pasta balls, which are very delicious, but, you know, it's gluten-free people can't eat it.
No,
and
they can't.
They think
it's
that millet, couscous, and quinoa are kind of the same thing.
Right, but they're not.
But they're not, and that's
no,
why it's
millet
great.
Millet is gluten-free, but couscous is not.
Yes, couscous is gluten. It's spaghetti. It's little teeny pieces of spaghetti.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big thing to incorporate is to have the other thing that's great about quinoa, I think, Tracy, is that quinoa cooks in about 10 minutes, totally ready to go on the table. In fact, really faster than that.
Very fast. Yeah, quinoa cooks really quickly. And you cook it similar to rice, 1 cup of quinoa to 2 cups of liquid. And you can cook it with water or broth for more flavor. And there's so much you can do with it.
Well, what I used to do, and this is way back when, I told you how old my kids are, I used to make it one night as, you know, a grain along with whatever else they were eating, which was usually vegetarian, but we did use, like you mentioned, we did use organic meat. In fact, I raised it myself on my farm. And slaughtered it myself on my farm, so I knew exactly what those animals were eating. And then talk about energetically, we blessed them and loved them from the time they were born until they literally became part of us.
So I have a friend who does that up in Massachusetts.
It was very spiritual, actually.
Yeah.
It really was. And it was sad. It was sad to end their life, but that was the understanding from the day they were born. You know, we would tell them, you're going to be part of us, really. So in any event, boy, did that taste different than a store-bought piece of meat.
Oh, I'm sure.
We did use it, as you mentioned, and really as is used traditionally all over the world, which is meat is used as a condiment.
Right.
It is not the mainstay of every meal. That often came from the fact that people could not afford it, but nowadays it really should be a choice to keep that meat ingestion low. So I would use the quinoa as, you know, a side dish, like along with whatever else we had, and then I would always make enough so that I had leftover in the fridge. And I made it into all kinds of things the next day. Sometimes just added it to soup as a thickener. Sometimes I made it into burgers that I baked in the oven. My kids used to say, oh, yeah, really, Mom, it's just like hamburgers, right? But anyway, you know, I would chop up extra vegetables.
That's the cook once, eat twice principle I was talking about.
Well, tell us about that. Tell us about that. Cook once, eat twice. That's a great
thing. Yes. Well, for so many people, they don't have enough time to cook. So if they are going to go into the kitchen and cook, I feel you might as well use that time wisely and cook once and eat it for, you know, use it for more than one meal. So if you are going to make a roast chicken, maybe make two roast chickens or have, you know, roast chicken one night. And then the next night, shred it and make it into a quesadilla and add, like, refried beans to the quesadilla and some guacamole and salsa. So you're using it for more than one meal. So when you're at 5 o'clock and you don't know what's for dinner, you have choices in your refrigerator. Or if you're going to make a soup or stew, I think it's always really wise to make a double batch, and freeze some. You know, let it cool down in the refrigerator overnight and then put it in, you know, a freezer container and make sure that there's no air in it and it's dated and labeled and rotated. You put it in the back of the freezer for days that you don't have time to cook. You have food in your freezer and your refrigerator.
And I am a big fan of freezing, even though, let's say, of course, that the best thing would be fresh. But with people's lifestyles nowadays, they can't do fresh every day. So I would 100% rather eat a frozen organic meal. I used to actually make them and call them TV dinners.
Yes.
Fine, whatever they wanted to call them, because I was a working mom all the time. So I would cook really truthfully, and even now I only cook, believe it or not, once a week.
Okay.
And that, I actually have to schedule that in Sunday afternoons.
Yes.
That's when I go to the farmers markets first thing in the morning and then fill in from the organic grocery stores what I couldn't find at the farmers markets, and that changes seasonally.
Yeah.
And then go home and I have that time free to cook. If there's a reason I have to go to something, you know, an event, a wedding, if I have to give a lecture, then I actually put in my calendar at the beginning of the week the time that I will put into cooking. Because otherwise it doesn't happen. You never really have the time.
You're right. It's really important to schedule that time in. And people think, oh, schedule it in. Yes. So you have time. Like you said, people don't have the time, so you have to schedule the time in because it's so important to eat nourishing food. Food's medicine, and if we eat nourishing food, we're going to feel good and we're going to have the energy to go on. If we eat fast food or food of really low, poor quality, it's going to affect how we feel in our body and our health. So like your son noticed his first semester at college, you know, the difference between eating junk food and real food, your body really, really notices the difference.
Yes, it does, very quickly. And the other way is true as well. When we get patients in my clinic and they've been eating junky food, SAD, Standard American Diet, for years and suffering from so many different disease processes, fatigue, lethargy, lack of sleep, overweight, on. And yeah, the first thing we do is food interventions, because even if people are on prescription meds, you can't always go right to herbs, let's say, and nutraceuticals, which we use later on. But the first intervention is always food and exercise. And I can't believe the people, after 1 month, sometimes they're done. All their disease processes are over, or they notice so many less symptoms, no more stuffy nose in the morning.
Huge difference.
It does. So either way, going away from eating healthy or going towards eating healthy makes demonstrable changes very, very quickly.
Definitely. No, food is medicine, and that's why people really need to schedule that time in and cook real food. I mean, I was amazed by how many friends of my children rarely had a family meal and would actually ask to have dinner at my house, because they knew that I was always having dinner on the table and it was good food. So it's really important to take the time. And it's not that hard if you cook once and eat twice, and you can use a crock pot today, which makes it so much easier for people. And,
I'm a big fan of a crock pot too, because, if you do work, you can just start everything and then it's done when you get home.
Yeah. And the kitchen smells delicious and you don't have to wait. It's waiting for you. Or a high-speed blender. Many of the high-speed blenders, you can make soups in them and smoothies, and you can chop vegetables in them, which make it really easy as well. Because in the wintertime, it's wonderful to have a delicious fresh soup, and you can do those in either a slow cooker or a high-speed blender.
Okay, well, hold those thoughts, because we're going to take another break right here so listeners here on Progressive Radio Network can hear about many of the other wonderful shows that we have available for you right here on Progressive Radio Network. We'll be right back with more on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Welcome back to Natural Alternatives right here with The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. You're listening to your host, Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse. You can find us at naturalnurse.com and also Facebook, The Natural Nurse. And we love to hear from you. We have all kinds of ideas to share with you so you can incorporate healthier living, including herbs, homeopathics, nutritious food, various systems of exercise into your daily routine. And that's if you want to feel great, whole, and energetic for yourself and your family. We've written many books. They're all there under naturalnurse.com. Look at books. And we have a very substantial education program available where you can become certified in specific areas of natural medicine. For instance, you can be certified in botanical medicine, that's herbs, or in homeopathy, or aromatherapy, or energy medicine. We have a class going on right now where people investigate such things as radionics and other energy measurement techniques to see what's going on in your body. And of course, there's always nutrition to see how you can do food planning that will help yourself, your cells, and your family. And that's our topic for today, because our guest is Tracy Yablon Brenner, and she is the Real Food Mom. You can find her at realfoodmoms.com. And it's a site dedicated to educating parents about family nutrition and whole food cooking. So thank you so much for continuing with us today, Tracy. When you say parents, is there a lot here for dads as well, or is this mom-focused?
Oh, no, definitely dads, too. there are a lot of dads today who are home instead of mom or who do the cooking. So it's really for either parent. And the book, Simple Foods for Busy Families, that I co-wrote with Jeanette Bessinger, the clean food coach, is really a guidebook explaining how to change from that sad standard American diet to eating healthy. And there's simple recipes on the greens, and beans, and a whole mix and match cooking section, because for some people, it's easier to just kind of follow a formula than a whole recipe, you know, to the T. So everyone has different, you know, likes and dislikes. So we created the whole mix and match series to make it easy to get food on the table.
That is good. So what you could do is get that and then do what you were talking about, which is stock your pantry. And then you need to actually do some time management, like decide when every single week, or if it's twice a week, or, you know, every day is, of course, best if you could do it. When are you going to cook? You can't just leave it like, okay, well, when I have time. When both parents are working and everybody gets home like 7 or 8 at night after the office meeting and, you know, running around and picking up the children at soccer or whatever you do after you work all day, when exactly are you supposed to cook?
That doesn't work. That's why the 3 P's come in handy. Plan, purchase, and prepare.
There you go.
That's so you can get those meals on the table easily and quickly. And it's really important to get the kids involved, too. The more they're involved in the kitchen and preparing food, the more they're going to want to try what they're going to be eating, because they had something to do with preparing it. So it's really important at a really young age to get them involved in food preparation and setting the table, too.
So let's talk about some of your recipes. You have so many different things available. Where should someone start? I mean, I know you have an e-book, which is called Cook Once, Eat Twice.
Yes, I do, to make it easy for people to, you know, get those meals on the table. And I also have a healthy pantry makeover kit on my website, too, to help people get the right healthy products in their pantry so they can make cooking much easier. So it's really important. I also post different recipes on my Facebook page, The Real Food Moms, and on Instagram, too, because so many people today use Instagram and, of course, Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest.
So let's talk about some of, like, how would someone start? Let's say someone's listening and they go, you know what, I am bringing home, like, the best thing I do is Boston Market or something. It just looks like a whole food a little bit, you know, versus McDonald's, which we usually have, or pizza. What should I do first?
Well, if you're working and you don't have a lot of time, a slow cooker is a great thing to do. Some slow cookers today, you can actually brown the chicken or whatever you're cooking, and you have to stock your pantry. So it's really important to stock your pantry so you have the necessary ingredients you need to prepare that roast chicken, because you need spices and oils, and it's great to have, especially in the wintertime, frozen vegetables or beans.
Okay, so you're okay with frozen vegetables.
Yes, frozen vegetables I think are fine. I like to look at the Environmental Working Group and the Dirty Dozen list and the Clean 15. So there are frozen vegetables like Stallbush Farms that they're sustainably grown. They're not necessarily organic, but I think looking at that Dirty Dozen list is helpful.
Well, tell us what that Dirty Dozen list is about. We've spoken about it here before, but I'd love to hear you share that with our listeners.
Well, the Dirty Dozen list is by the Environmental Working Group, which is a great website if you're not familiar with it. And it gives you a list of the top 12 fruits and vegetables that have the most pesticide load. That's what you have to really be careful. It's not nutrients, it's pesticides. So you want to stay away from foods like, not stay away from them, but you'd want to buy them organic if you can. If not, you can make your own or buy a wash and soak them to make sure you're getting those pesticides off of them. And then they also have the Clean 15, which is the top 15 fruits and vegetables with the least amount of pesticide load. So those, if people, you know, choose to buy those conventionally, those are the healthy ones to buy, like onions, and I believe bananas are on there. But it's www.ewg.org.
Right, a big one is strawberries. Like,
yeah,
I will, even if I go to a party where there's a beautiful outlay of fresh fruit, you know, that you munch on before the meal or something, if they have strawberries that are not organic, I'll pass them by. I feel like you can actually taste the pesticides on them.
Yeah, I agree. If I go somewhere, I also won't eat conventional strawberries. I think if you have, like, such a clean palate, you're probably right, you can. The average person probably doesn't because they're so used to it. But the Clean 15 are asparagus, avocado, cabbage, cantaloupe, sweet corn, although corn you have to worry about because it's genetically modified in most cases.
Unless you get organic.
Unless you get organic,
but
it's under the Clean 15 for pesticides. Eggplant, grapefruit, kiwi, mangoes, mushrooms, onions, papaya, pineapple, sweet peas, and sweet potatoes. Those are all under the Clean 15.
So that's excellent. Now, just reading that list says, wow, that could be, you know, when people make a list of all the vegetables they eat every day, most people have like two vegetables, like basically canned corn and peas or something. Just that list you read could be a week's worth of really healthy meals.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's, you can definitely use the Clean 15 and not have to really worry about buying organic every day or for every meal. There's enough variety right there, like you say.
And what do you suggest if people have picky eaters at home? Sometimes those are husbands and sometimes those are kids and sometimes those are yourself.
You're right. Well, I think it's really important not to put too much emphasis on healthy, saying, oh, you got to eat healthy, you got to eat your vegetables, you got to eat your fruit. If, like you said, you bring healthy food into your home, those are their choices in the house to eat healthy food. So they're going to have to figure out what foods they like. And bridge with the familiar. If they like French fries, make sweet potato fries. If they like certain flavors, cook with those flavors. Like my daughter loves like those Mexican type flavors. I make an inside out quesadilla, and last week I made a black bean casserole. She said she had never had black rice before, and she's not a big brown rice fan. She likes, you know, she'll eat it, but it's not her favorite. She was like, wow, I really like this black rice, and this reminds me of the inside out quesadilla. Said, yes, because I know you like those flavors, so I'm going to cook with flavors you like. So it's really important to do that. And to put lots of different fruits and vegetables on the table so there's a variety so they can choose. And always make something you know that they like. So if you know that they like, you know, cucumbers with a little lemon and sea salt, have those on the table if you're introducing something new that they might not be familiar with. So then, you know, at least they have a backup of something that they like, and they'll be willing to try something new as well.
And all of these recipes people can find in your books, It's a great place to get them. And actually, I saw copies of two of the books, Best Food for Your Baby and Toddler and Simple Food for Busy Families. So just a matter of making that commitment that you're important, that your family is important, that you're going to be bringing healthier choices into your life. So I want to thank you so much for being our guest today, Tracy. And the best place for someone to find you would probably be on realfoodmoms.com, or tell us that other website that you have.
Oh, thefamilyfoodexperts.com, or my Facebook page, The Real Food Moms.
Oh, that's always a good place. A lot of people are hitting us up on our Facebook pages. It's just a new world with that stuff. But
and
I want
Twitter,
to thank you.
At Real Food Moms as well.
Okay.
And I'm on Pinterest and Instagram at Real Food Moms.
And you must have links from realfoodmoms.com to all those places for people to find them easily. Okay, well, thank you so much for being our guest today. And listeners, thank you for being our listeners today. And make sure that you eat something healthy every day for yourself, yourselves, and your family. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse. Check us out at naturalnurse.com or Facebook The Natural Nurse. And until then, we hope that you stay healthy.